Saturdays with Jenny
on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.
Okay, so now we're talking motoring, we're talking on the move, and Benedict Bach is sitting opposite me, and he's come round to me. Have I seen all three cars?
Because no, you saw two.
I saw two because we started off at two. I've seen one and driven in one.
Yeah.
The other one I've missed out on.
Yeah, it was a sort of a last minute, and I had a hectic week, so I wasn't able to pop by.
Okay, but I have seen that pale blue thing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I mean, I do know the names. I mean, we're looking at these. we're looking at the BMW TI. We're looking at the Golf GTI and the Hyundai i30N. I've no idea what it means, but anyway, that's what it is. But they are all hatchbacks.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, we really do want you guys to give us a call because, I mean, talking hot hatchbacks. Do you or have you ever owned one of these vehicles? Even an ordinary hatchback. I had an ordinary hatchback. I think they are so useful. I can't imagine why people would just want an ordinary saloon car. Anyway, so just listen and then tell us which of the three you have you like the sound of most. And Benedict, I mean, talk to us.
Yeah, so the three hatchbacks in question, I've kind of given funny nicknames. I've called the GTI the Malome of the family, and it's kind of, you know, the really cool uncle, the one who sets the tone for the family, for what's hip and happening. Always well dressed, well turned out, not sort of top end, sort of flashy, but the right balance of style and flair, and that's kind of what the Golf GTI is, right? And it has been sort for generations since it started. It was introduced in the mid 70s, and it's kind of been the benchmark hot hatch for, you know, since then. It's the one by which all others are measured, and the hot hatch class of cars is quite competitive. Next up in the line is, you know, the two sort of young upstarts. The one is a kind of a Model C graduate who's kind of very flash, and that's the BMW 128 Ti. You know, it has kind of, you know, badging and stripes and things like that, which is kind of really, really making a big, bold statement. And in fact, that's exactly where BMW want to go. They want to make a statement in this category of car. There's one of the ads that's been going on is drop the G and drive the BMW 128 Ti, which is essentially a middle finger at the uncle in the family, right? Which is
but it's very beautiful inside. Wow.
It is. And then there's kind of the cousin from, you know, from the other side of town or from a different village. The one that one would least expect to make a statement, and I can tell you, the Hyundai i30N has really made a big and bold statement about what it brings to the hot hatch market, and I think they've done a phenomenal job. They've done a bit of a raiding job. They poached Albert Biermann, who is the head of BMW M division, which is the performance division of BMW, and he's come with sort of his bag of tricks and tools and created a car that one would not ordinarily think of, but it is an equal and a very competitive player in the hot hatch space, which is quite phenomenal.
But why is it an equal? Because you explained that to me yesterday evening.
Yeah. So I suppose maybe let's go back to understanding what is a hot hatch, right? So the hot hatch is obviously it's a hatchback because of the shape of the car, and it's hot because it has got good performance, and performance in all categories, sort of straight line speed, acceleration, going around corners. But it also has to be accessible from a pricing point of view and from an ordinary guy or girl being able to get in and really have a good time in that category of car, right? But what that also means is that it has to be properly engineered, right? And the other guys have kind of been at it for much longer. BMW has been making performance cars forever, and VW with the Golf GTI. I mean, the GTI is a nameplate on its own. It's almost more popular than the Golf brand, and that's how well it has done from a reputation point of view of the brand. So you've got to have performance. It's right up there. I think it's in the middle of the three of them in terms of acceleration. Power output is very similar. Dynamically, it's very similar. So it's really a match for the other two, which is quite phenomenal for a brand that's kind of, you know, I mean, the Hyundai and Kia brands are are still relatively new brands in terms of being able to mix it up with the established brands. And I think they do a phenomenal job in the kind of the general SUV and sort of small hatchback kind of environment. But to build a proper hatchback requires engineering ingenuity, and they've done it. And they've come to the game. They've brought in their A game into this one.
So is it price that determines which of these vehicles you would go for? And again, I mean, I'm just thinking of anybody who's got some questions. I mean, just do give us a call. And the number, just to refresh you, 086-000-959, because Benedict is here and he will answer your questions. If you're in the market for a new car, maybe it is a hatchback, because they're so incredibly practical.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, if you've ever driven or owned a hatchback, I've never owned a hatchback, bizarrely. I've owned saloons, SUVs, and all sorts of things, but never a hatchback, and I actually don't know why. But they do provide an incredible amount of practicality. You talk about price. Price is an interesting one, right? They're kind of, all three of them are in the around about the 680 to 690 kind of category, sort of pricing as standard, right? I didn't manage to get a price as tested from VW in terms of what is optional and what is standard. The BMW, they've interestingly put in this market, added some sort of options that you would normally pay for and have them as standard. And that pricing with the other options comes to, the one that we had, comes to around about 720,000. The Hyundai all in at 679. So sunroof, Apple CarPlay, park distance control, rear camera, electric seats, anything that you can imagine that you would expect to pay as an option is standard in that car. The only two options that you have is the color. Oh, sorry, the only option you have is the color. I know that you don't like that that kind of baby blue, but I think it's quite striking, and it's certainly making a statement. And wherever you go in that car, it's a head turner. So from a pricing point of view, it provides significant value over the other two.
Okay, so we've got to talk about performance as well. And also, I mean, design, there are some people who live and die by design. And if that is the case, then it is the BMW. I mean, you even bought a pair of glasses that matched the decor inside. I took a photograph of it. I took a photograph. No one will believe you. They will believe me. But it was the styling from the moment you get into the car to the moment you get out. It just looks, for me, inside, it just looks, you know, that Italian gift for design, just where every single thing, the stitching even.
It's German, Jenny.
I know it's German, but it's just, Italians are, you know, quite good on design.
So I mean, it's an interesting proposition, right? Styling, I have a difference in opinion with the designers at BMW about the front end. Okay, I think that grill, this new trend of making these large grills, it doesn't work for me, right? And I'm sure there are very good reasons why they've done that. I mean, the new 4 Series is I struggle to find words, but maybe we'll talk about the 4 Series another time. But the ones here, I think in black, this works because it's got a black grill and a black car. I think it's kind of disguised it and made it softer. I think the rear end is much stronger from a styling point of view. The Hyundai i30N, I think it's done the job. I mean, take the color outside, but just the proportions of how, you know, how the grille is shaped, how the inserts are shaped, the air intakes, the design of the wheels, I think is quite good. I think from a design point of view, and I suppose that they had to go all out, right? If you're new into the market and you're wanting to make a statement against some really strong established players, you're going to have to sort of go all in. And I think they've done that in the styling department as well. But we'll talk about driving shortly.
Okay, we will. We're going to take a short break. But do give us a call, 086-000-959. I mean, which of these babies would you like to drive? I mean, apart from anything else. I do think the styling in, honestly, that BMW, for me, it just, I don't care about what's in the front, about the size of it. But I know lots of boys do. Anyway, 086-000-959.
Saturdays with Jenny on
Kaya 959.
Well, we're back in the studio with Benedict Macher, and you said, just we took a short break, you said, I'll be back, and there's lots more to talk about. What?
Indeed. Just maybe a quick one, Jenny, before we go back to my thoughts on these three in terms of value and which one I would pick. And I think it's always a very difficult decision around three very competent products, but I'll give you a view in a short while. But I believe that in Hyde Park Corner, they've got the Coffee and Car Show happening on Sunday the 6th?
Sunday the 6th, yes.
It should be quite cool because they've got classic cars, and I'm a classic car fanatic, and that's why I still drive old cars. And the car that I love, that I have loved and lost most, was my 1966 Alfa Romeo Giulia Sprint Veloce, which I just I still pine over. And that would have been an amazing display car at the Hyde Park Corner.
Well, it sounds nice. They're doing, as you say, they're doing coffee and muffins and things like that, but I mean they've got supercars like, think Lamborghini, McLaren, Porsche, Aston Martin, Ferrari. It's for kids who want to photograph up with their dream car, to anyone who's got an appreciation for classic car design. So as Benedict was saying, cars on display from 9 to 12, that's next Sunday the 6th of June, and you just go onto the rooftop of Hyde Park Corner. So maybe that's a slightly different thing for you guys to do with the family for the weekend. And of course, you know, the coffee is free. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I love coffee. Sometimes I drink too much of the stuff.
Okay, so let's have your thoughts on this, because I do think it's difficult, and I do know which one you are going to choose. And
is the choice going to be the same as yours, I wonder?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think people have got budgets, and if they've got budgets, I think it's a no-brainer. And the car that I did love that BMW from the outside to the inside, because I just think design is cool. And, I mean, I like the Golf very much indeed. You can't not like the Golf.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think what makes the decision easier is that the Golf GTI is no longer on sale, because they've got a new one coming up later in the year, right? So the model that I drove was literally being defleeted. So it's an easy choice, because from being able to order one at VW, the current generation 7 is no longer available. You would look at the new generation 8, which I suspect, you know, will be better. I mean, they push the envelope with every generation, right? So Maluma is going sort of in a bit of a retreat. He's going to a Buddhist retreat to sort of kind of find himself. And he will emerge. He will emerge
with your mind
better, stronger, wiser, and again, it will challenge for the top of the category. And I think VW have been very good in doing that. So that leaves the other two. So, you know, by the mere fact that it's not available, that will, you know, that would place it in third, not due to any confidence.
But I might want to wait for the 8.
You might wanna wait for the 8. So that leaves the other two. I think it's difficult to choose between the two, because I think they do different things, right? And it's not a cop out. I think BMW have very cleverly taken a luxury car brand and luxury car model and kind of priced it and positioned it in a slightly lower category. And that's very smart, because they're going to get a younger car buyer. So the aspiration into a BMW brand goes lower from an age point of view and from an affordability point of view. And that's very clever marketing. But the other thing that's quite important for them, this car is critical in that it needs to prove to the market that BMW can build credible front-wheel drive hatchbacks or front-wheel drive products, for that matter, because it's been known for building rear-wheel drive cars that have been exceptional throughout the ages. This is the first time outside of the Mini brand, and of course, you know, the two brands are different, but that they are going into front-wheel drive only for the one series, at least the bottom to the middle, and that's quite important. But as an overall package, it's very difficult not to give it to the Hyundai. I think they have, again, they've rated the BMW parts bin by getting the best engineers to come to the party, and they've created an affordable product that's phenomenal.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit more. Let's go to Edward. Hi there, Edward.
Yes, hi, Jenny. Hi, Ben. Yeah, interesting discussion, hey? look, I'm a BMW guy through and through, and although I'm being a BMW guy, I think, you know, I would say drop the G and drive the 128i. However, I think Ben makes a good point that we shouldn't rule out the Hyundai, the i30N. And I think for me, I should just arrange a time to test drive it. And maybe I might just change my mind. But for now, I say, yeah, drop the G, drive the 128i.
Would you go for that baby blue color? It worries me.
On the
Honda.
I don't know. I think I've seen one in a. Is it that sort of lighter blue? Is that the baby blue?
Yeah,
because I think if you look at the 128 Ti as well, they've got a similar ish sort of color. Mm. Because it's either the white, the black, or that color. It just escapes me. So it looks like that hot hatch segment seems to be embracing that bluish sort of color more and more. So I wouldn't mind it.
Hmm. Okay, Edward, thanks very much indeed.
They're going younger and hotter.
Well, look, I have to say that if I had to choose between the three and something that I would go for the one where everything is all in. I honestly can't bear this thing. You buy something. It's like Audi. You get a price. You go in there. You think it's everything. And then, no, you've got to pay extra for the wheels.
There's one proviso. i30N, currently only available in manual, which appeals to me. And that gearbox is fantastic. It's engaging. It's notchy. It's meaty. For me, that works. Most people seem to have a greater preference for automatics. And that, in this case, will swing it definitely in the BMW direction.
BMW smiling all over their faces. However, I do think the value for money, Hyundai, and they'll come out with an automatic.
Yes, they are. They are planning one for the end of the year.
So you just order it and put a deposit down and, you know, wait for it. Benedict, thank you very much indeed. And don't forget, next Sunday, maybe, just a little thing for you guys to do, Hyde Park, and all these classic cars, free coffee, and then you can go off and do all sorts of other things that are going to make your weekend for you.
Saturdays with Jenny, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m.
on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.